Hi, friends. Welcome to the Scripture Society podcast, where we help women on their journey of knowing and loving Jesus more and more every day. Our hope is that we can help you tell a more beautiful story and grow in your knowledge of the one who wrote it. Hi, Kylie.
Hey.
I was about to say, how are you? We're trying to come up with a new intro because we have discovered that I always say, hi, Kylie. She says, hi, Olive. And I say, how are you? And then she says,
good. I'm excited.
So I was trying to think of something else to say. But
it's just how it is.
Don't fix what's not broken.
Exactly.
Yeah, we should probably accept our
fate
at this point.
So I'm so glad you're excited. I'm excited because we have a very special someone here with us.
Sophia!
Just my best friend in the whole entire world. Sophia is incredible. She is a woman of many, many talents. She can weld. She's a florist. She's a business owner. She can sing. She can act. She can dance. She can do whatever you want.
So many things.
Not really the last couple of those things you said, but
she is like figure it out girl number one. Yeah. I love that about her. But so there's many, many of the spiritual disciplines and of the spiritual fruits that we think that she exemplifies, but she does serve in a very special way, a very powerful way. She's a worship leader at her church. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to invite her on to talk to us about what worship really means and how we can do that, not just one time a week in a Sunday gathering, but how do we live a worshipful lifestyle?
Yeah.
And so,
good. Thanks for being on, Soph.
Thanks for having me.
We're so excited to have you here. And we really wanted to have you on for this specifically, just because, like, obviously, we're going to get into like what worship really is, but we think you have a unique perspective that Olive and I don't have. Mm-hmm. So, so right now we're in the portion of the season where we're talking about spiritual disciplines. So worship is that spiritual discipline we're talking about today. This season has been really fun so far. Yeah. Like I've really been enjoying it. And I think some people might be a little bit, maybe not shocked, but like, oh, they included worship as a spiritual discipline. Is that really a spiritual discipline, you know?
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely we would say yes.
I would not be shocked.
Yeah, good.
To see it.
Good. So yeah, we're going to, hopefully you'll be convinced that, if you're not.
Yeah, I would argue that it's probably one of the primary spiritual disciplines.
Yeah, I would as well.
I agree.
One of the most important, one of the most innate, one of the most things that we're so clearly called to be, not mm-hmm. just as a thing to do, but we're called to be worshipers. Mm-hmm. So it's also not just like a practice that we practice, but an identity that we put on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's good. So let's define worship. What would we say, like if you had in your own words, as short as you want to, like what would you say worship is?
Do you want me to say?
Yeah, go ahead, our very special guest.
Oh my goodness. I feel like in the simplest of terms, like worship is just giving in a reverential way, obviously, like honor and glory to God. Yeah. And that can be done in a multitude of ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's the creation giving honor and glory to the creator, basically. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
My pastor has phrased it as...
So sorry about that. Might have echoed a bit.
My pastor has defined it as worship is a breath that we give back to the Lord, that we return to the Lord. He gave us breath, and in return, we give him it back by our worship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I don't think I have a different definition. I think that's really good. I think, you know, like Sophia just said, or maybe you're surprised by these definitions. Notice we didn't use the word music once.
Right.
In that definition, you know, that's one of the primary ways you like see it and one of the ways that, you know, we can do it in community. But it's more than that. And like Olive said earlier, we can live a worshipful life. It's not just like something we do at church. I think that's interesting. That's not something I probably would have said a few years ago. Like if you say worship, I'm thinking like
music,
yeah. Songs. But that's not the only thing that we see in scripture, right? Mm-hmm. So let's look at what it looks like in the Bible. What does worship look like in the Bible? Where do we see it pop up, and like how is it talked about, if that makes sense? Mm-hmm. What do you guys think?
Worship is one of those things that the word worship is thrown around countless times in scripture.
Yeah.
Like when I say countless, like dozens and dozens of dozens of
times.
There's
a whole book of Psalms.
Yeah, which are like you're going to run into the word worship like numerous times.
Right.
I mean, speaking of like Psalms, like I feel like that's where we see mostly the words like music, song, instruments, voices, singing. That's where we're going to see a lot of the musical language when it comes to worship is in the Psalms. But I mean, I have a couple verses that I was looking at. And so John, chapter 4, verse 24, it says, worship in the spirit and in truth. You know, it's one of the most common verses that I think gets thrown around about worship. And it's like, what does worshiping in truth really mean? I think it means it's going to, like, off the cuff, it's going to mean different things to different people. But I feel like what scripture makes abundantly clear is worship is truly just about heart posture. And that might look different for different people. I have Psalm 100. It says, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. You know, as Psalm 95, 6 through 7, come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our maker. You know, so in the Psalms, like you were just saying, you know, I think that's why people kind of tend to attribute like music to worship is because there are lots of places in the Bible that connect the two. I mean, we recently, Olivia and I were recently in a study through Revelation, and constantly, you know, we're getting these grand pictures of the throne room and the heavenly beings, the 24 elders, like they're constantly falling on their face, singing worship to the Lord. You know, so there's a lot of, you know, posture language and song language throughout the Bible when it comes to worship.
That's good. I had the John 4 verse in mind as well, just because, you know, that's the, you know, the woman at the well. But then you have this moment where, like, she's like, okay, well, there's this disagreement on where to worship. Where do you say I should worship? And then you have Jesus kind of blowing it wide open by saying, like, that's not what this is about anymore. And what's interesting is kind of we can relate that now to, like, the way that we think of worship as just music. What Jesus is saying here is worship is bigger than just music. 100%. It doesn't have to be the only time you can worship is when you're at church. So I love that too, what you said about worship in spirit and in truth, because if we're not worshiping in truth, then like, are we even worshiping the God of the Bible? Like if you could create like this whole idea of like what God is in your head and like, it could be totally not the right thing.
I mean, you could be worshiping self. You could be worshiping
fear of man. Talk about that.
I think
say more.
Well, I think that verse also came to my mind as well, and the thing that I love about how a litmus test for whether a preacher is a good preacher or not is if after the message is given, if the worship is a response, if the worship is greater after the message, after the gospel has been preached than before the gospel being preached. And I think that that's a beautiful thing, because like there's something in us of when we hear truth, our only response is to worship. When we meet God face to face, our only response is to worship. When we can see his glory and see his goodness, his faithfulness, his kindness, our inherent reaction is to worship. However, there's another piece of us, especially in our Western hyper-individualistic society, where worship of self is the thing that is we're told constantly to do and to worship. Of like, don't bow down to any authority outside of yourself. Like, follow your heart. You do you. Figure out what you need to do for your life. Like, worship yourself. Create the life that you want. And all of that is so counter to who God designed us to be. And like when we think about our identity as a worshiper, it can be so easily misapplied to want to worship ourselves and to like focus all of our attention and our devotion on how do I create the project of me? Like, how do I further the project of me? How do I become this? How do I become that? How do I put all my attention on myself? And that is just a lifestyle and a practice that will leave you to a really self-destructive place.
That's good.
Because it lacks truth. So it's not real. It's not aligned with reality. It's all something that you've created up in your own head that you're worshiping and directing your life after.
That's good. I think you can kind of see this sometimes, actually, exactly what you're talking about, like sneak into worship music.
Oh, 100%.
Like there will be times when I've like heard new songs come out and I'm like, dang, this song's like not really about God. like it's kind of crazy. And I think like songs about like testimonies can like still be impactful, but I still feel like, you know, like God should be in there somewhere, right?
Right.
But what's interesting is one of my favorite pastors that I follow, Kyle Worley, big fans of Knowing Faith over here, he talks about how his father told him that like worship leaders are like some of the most important roles in a church because like the congregation will probably not go home remembering what the pastor said, but they'll go home like humming the songs. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what, like worship is not just some like fluff, like, or like emotional buildup to get your heart. Like there is an element of that, but that's not all it is. You know, it's exactly what Olive just said. It's like, okay, I'm worshiping the Lord. And then I'm also responding to what I just learned about the Lord. It's very important. And exactly what Olive just laid out, that response, that's what you see in the epistles. That's where we get like the doxology. Like Paul will go on these tangents of like, this is who God is. And it's so incredible. And then he has to respond in worship, even in the epistles. And we have that outline for us. And I don't know. I think like, it's just important, right? Yeah. Like I know worship is more than music, but that's important in music.
Yeah, I mean, I think, Sophia, you can speak to this more of, like, when we're talking about worship music and talking about, like, what is good worship music, what is bad worship music. The thing that I think is so beautiful about music, when we're talking about repetition being the mother of learning, how we repeating things to ourselves are the things that get the word, the truth into our minds, but also into our hearts and our bodies. I think that music has a very incredible way, just like beauty, because it is an art, it's a form of beauty, like we talked about last season, as a way of sneaking behind the defenses and being a really powerful vehicle to deliver truth to people who may not be able to understand it by hearing a sermon. And so when you're writing worship music with scripture in it, you're using the music as a vehicle to deliver that straight to your heart.
Right.
And then the response is on a feelings level. I think that in the West, we've kind of over-intellectualized faith and thinking about like, you know, we love scripture. We love scripture society. So we're not at all saying that the Bible isn't powerful, but sometimes when we try to primarily grow in our faith through our minds and through consuming content, we're not having the emotional wonder connection to the Lord, but we're holistic beings. We're emotional, spiritual, physical beings, intellectual beings. But if you ignore the emotional bit, then you'll become someone who's like a Pharisee who has a lot of knowledge, but not a lot of wonder and awe and reverence in your heart. And worship music helps us reconnect with that feeling.
There's an A.W. Tozier quote that I love. I don't want to misquote it too terribly, but it basically is along the lines of, you know, God created us to be worshipers over workers. And nobody can really... It's basically, it's posing the question, what's the point of being a worker when you've lost the art of worship? You know, God created us in a way, like you're saying, to be completely well-rounded beings. And a large aspect of that is emotional connection. The Lord wouldn't have created us in a way to be moved and impacted by song if that's not something that he was going to use for his glory. You know, he's an intentional God and everything is purposeful. I think there's something special about worship. I mean, it's the lowest prostration of your soul, right? You're bearing your soul the lowest it can be. I mean, figuratively and literally, you know, say you're on your knees in worship, okay? Or just say you're standing up in worship. Your soul is bared before the Lord, just as low as it can possibly go. But your spirit is as elevated to the Lord as it possibly could ever be.
It's
so it's this strange juxtaposition of like your earthly spirit, your earthly soul being bared before the Lord, like bowing your face before him, but your spirit being elevated to him all at the same time. It's a beautiful, very vulnerable experience, I guess you could say. And I know that sounds just like wee woo, like up in the clouds, what's going on with that? But I mean, it's inarguable that like there's a huge vulnerability aspect to worship. I think that's why we experience a lot of people in the church, you know, kind of closing themselves off from worship because it's vulnerable. And it's uncomfortable even sometimes to witness other people around you having these worship experiences, and you're sitting there thinking to yourself, like, what am I doing wrong? Why am I not experiencing this? Or, you know, this, that, or the other. And I think it just goes back to the heart posture thing that we were saying before. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, yes, physically, like, you can be, your body can be on your knees, you know, bowing to the Lord, but your heart can be doing the same, even if your body's still standing.
Yeah.
You know, it's a heart posture thing.
That's good. I'm glad you bring that up too, because I feel like when it comes to, like, musical worship in church, a lot of times the barrier for people for corporate worship is a lack of feeling.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And what we just said is that worship is a response to, like, what we know to be true about God. Mm-hmm. So really where it begins, it has nothing to do with feeling.
Yeah.
So what I think can be really encouraging is that a lot of times what Sophia is talking about is this, like, humble, even just, like, giving up of yourself and participating in worship is you, like, okay, heart, like, I want to feel what I know to be true. Right. Like, I want to, like, with everything that I have. But even when you're not feeling it, you're still able to worship. And it's almost like reminding yourself, like, no, this is true. And, like, even if I'm not feeling like I want to worship, not feeling that God is good, I know He is. Yes. And I can still sing it.
It's the leap of faith.
Yeah. And doing it corporately.
It's scary.
Something about doing it corporately is like, can be like, there will be times when I go into church and I just, like, can't get the words out of my mouth for whatever reason. But hearing the people, I know who these people are. I know their walks of life. They know me personally. Hearing them singing what I know to be true about the Lord just, like, does something for my spirit. You know what I mean? So good.
I heard this on a podcast today. I'm going to butcher who it's from, but we can link the podcast below. It's actually about fasting, not even about worship, but he said that his daughter said something to him and it stuck with him forever. She said that a lot of times we expect intimacy with the Lord to trigger obedience, but in reality, obedience comes first, and then intimacy comes after obedience. And so I think that, like, yes, worship is such a beautiful feeling that we get to connect emotionally with the Spirit of God and spiritually with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit moves. Some of the most powerful and tangible ways I have felt the Holy Spirit move in a place has been during worship. And sometimes the obedience to open your mouth and sing a song that you don't really feel. And also, like, I think about David and the Psalms, and when he's looking at his own soul and saying, oh soul, why are you downcast? Why are you downcast, oh my soul? And, like, digging into, like, okay, why am I not feeling this? Like, what's going on here? Like, being a little bit more self-reflective instead of judgmental and critical to whatever worship experience is going on outside of you.
It might be different than what you're used to or expecting.
That's good. I like that. I think, okay, so we've talked about music, but we started by saying it's more than music. Right. So what are some other ways? And this is kind of a hard question because it's like, well, I won't say why because I think we'll get into it. But what are some other ways that we can, like, live worshipful lives? Like, and it could be something that you just personally, like, that feels like worship to me, or if it's, you know, something that you feel like is more general, whatever. But I'd love to talk about that just for a second.
Yeah.
I would say my first response is a more generalized one, but let your day-to-day tasks be worship, you know, which I know sounds a little bit kind of up in the air, and it's like, what do you mean by that? Yeah. But my mom, all growing up, I'm always reminded of Colossians 3:23, the whatever you do, you know, work at it, you know, with all your heart is working for the Lord, not for man. You know, so, like, my mom growing up would always be like, do that, Sophia, that thing you don't want to do. Do it like you're doing it for Jesus. Like, that's what she would always say. But it's the reverence. It's the reverence aspect. It's the heart posture aspect. And it's not – this is not to say that all the little bits and pieces of your day are acts of worship. But when you're having to deal with that coworker that maybe you butt heads with a little bit, love that person as an act of worship. Being like, God, you are so – good. I have no choice but to love this person because they are made in the image of you, Father. And I'm going to love this person. Or when you're in school doing that, you know, test or that homework, praise God, I'm not in school anymore, but I wish I knew this back when I was in school. But if you're doing that assignment at school, that is just the worst. It's the worst and you're not going to get through it. Father, thank you. You are so good. thank you for giving me the opportunity to be in school, Father. Mm-hmm. I want to do this assignment as if I'm doing it and turning it into you, Father, because you deserve it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very hard to adopt that mindset when you're in the thick of it. Mm-hmm. But let your day-to-day task become worship. Mm-hmm. You know, just recognizing the goodness of God in the smallest little details. I know that sounds very obscure. And
that's really practical, actually. Yeah.
I think that's good. Yeah. I mean, and if we're saying that worship is the response to what we know to be true about God, then anything can be worship.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I am not a musically inclined person. I know, like, Sophia is, my husband is, like, worship is something, like, musical worship for my husband is, like, that's it for him. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, like, it brings his soul so close to the Lord, and I've never gotten that. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't built, like, inclined towards music.
Right.
I was built inclined towards other things. And one of the times I remember so specifically, I was like, this feels like worship, even though this is not what I know worship to be, because I didn't know this yet. Olive and I were leading a high school girls, like, Bible study, like, 7 a.m. at a Chick-fil-A. And I just remember, I paused. I'm just, like, eating it up. These girls, like, they're asking questions about scripture. We're digging into it. We're talking about who the Lord is. And I just had to pause for a second. And my heart was filled with worship. Like, that's the word that I have for it now. But it's just, like, gratitude. Yes. And, like, man, like, you're just, like, there's almost no words. Like, but my heart is just, like, bursting. Mm. And I'm, like, this is what, when people, like, who lead worship, like, this is what they're feeling. And, like, even other things. I think, like, creatively, you could do anything in worship.
Yeah.
Like,
oh my goodness,
think about people who write poetry, even authors. Mm. I think just, like, it's just that response, right? And so I just say that to say, like, music could not be your thing.
Mm-hmm. And that's fine.
And that there's, like, so many other ways. It could be anything, like Sophia just said. Like, your mundane job, it could just be, like, you can live an intentional, worshipful life. Because it's just, like, at the end, like, everything for the Lord.
I mean, let your life be a living sacrifice to the Lord.
Because that's another thing, too, of, like, I loved what you talked about before. There's just so many good things I'm, like, remembering and going back to. But when you talked about, like, it being a vulnerable thing, like, it's a sacrifice of praise. Like, it's a sacrifice of worship. That's the language that we see used in the scriptures. And, like, it's a laying down your own ability to tell God. It's an act of humility to tell God, like, I am so grateful for everything that you've given for me, because I know that I can do nothing without you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know that, like, these girls wouldn't be getting these concepts if it weren't for you moving. Yep. It's not me teaching them. It's not me. It's not my ability. Mm-hmm. It's you, Lord, like, that's using good. Me. And thank you for that.
Yeah. Mm. It's in those moments where you have no choice but to acknowledge God's goodness.
Yes.
And I mean, like, our bodies as a living sacrifice, like, to God, like, a life lived for the honor and glory of God is worship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, a life lived, obviously, we all fall short of the glory of God, right? Mm-hmm. So it's never going to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But a life where somebody is going about their day to day, trying to keep Christ at the center, keeping their eyes turned towards Christ, that is worship.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're doing that, when you recognize the absolute wonder of your salvation, we have no other response other than worship.
Yeah.
I mean, for somebody who might not be, you know, music might not be their thing, or, you know, they are the person that finds themselves on Sunday feeling awkward to sing, you know, or feeling awkward. I mean, we're called, it doesn't have to be a beautiful noise. We're just called to raise a joyful noise. Okay. Yeah. It doesn't have to be beautiful.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be beautiful. It has to be joy-filled.
Yeah.
And for somebody who struggles with that, my advice to you would be, you need to be on your knees in prayer. And I've often found myself in this place, even as somebody who does sing at church, you have to be on your knees praying for the Lord to remind you of your salvation.
Yeah.
And you have to constantly be praying that the Lord would restore the awe and wonder around your salvation, just immense gratitude. You know, Heavenly Father, please help remind me of how unworthy I am of this.
Yeah.
And when you're actively praying those sorts of prayers, you will have no choice. You're going to find yourself your mindset different. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to find yourself in church and you're going to be wanting to sing. And it might be awkward still.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I mean, but when we recognize the goodness of God, we have no other choice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to feel like something you're being forced to do.
Yeah.
It's going to feel like something you want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm even as I'm saying this, you know, I have a picture of the throne or in my head. Mm-hmm. Is it what it actually looks like? I don't know, probably not. But we all have our image of what we think heaven might look like. And I'm picturing, you know, the vast multitudes mm-hmm. of God's children just in the throne room, constantly just shouting, holy, holy, holy. Mm-hmm. And when you keep that sort of imagery in your head, personally for me, it makes it, I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited to go to church on Sundays and worship with my brothers and sisters in Christ because I'm like, oh, what a gift is this? Mm-hmm. A glimpse of heaven on earth?
Yeah.
Yes. What a gift that the Lord has given us, a taste, mm-hmm. a taste of what we'll experience for eternity.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. Yeah. I mean, we've all been in situations like that. I mean, I remember at the Passion Conference, you told me, you know, listening to all the students. I mean, mm-hmm. it's what, thousands of students in there. So it's a lot. And I know not everyone always has experiences where they're around thousands of believers singing together.
Yeah. It's so beautiful because when you think about how the world that we live in and the, if we're talking about the kingdom of heaven on earth, it's this tension between the as it is and the not yet. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But worship is a beautiful way that those things come together.
Mm-hmm. The in-between.
It's the in-between. Mm-hmm. It's that beauty of like we're getting to join in with the not yet. Yeah. The not yet of like all the healing and beauty that's to come in the new heavens and the new earth. We're getting to join with all the saints in heaven and lift up an offering of praise, a fragrant offering of praise to the Lord that's pleasing to him. We're getting to join with them because they're constantly worshiping right now. So the moments that we open our mouths to sing and join with that praise, like we're joining heaven in that moment. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just such a beautiful thing. And you're right. It's such a gift.
It's such a gift. But we don't think about it that way.
Yeah.
It's definitely not our immediate response to, you know, being around a bunch of people and feeling awkward to sing a song because it's like, ah, Jimmy next to me might hear me sing this song and it might sound kind of weird, you know? Yeah. That's our immediate response.
Yeah.
It takes so much conscious effort to say, Holy Spirit, help me be present in this moment.
Yes. Mm. And so I think that because we're kind of like saying two different things. You heard Kylie say that worship can be anything and we should worship with everything in our lives. But then we're also saying that like corporate worship
is important.
And both of these things are true.
Yes.
Because I think that especially when we're thinking about the spiritual disciplines, every spiritual discipline, think about it as a tool for you to use in your process of sanctification.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the discipline is the tool, not the fruit.
No.
Right.
So the fruit of worship is not worship.
No.
The fruit of worship is creating you to be a person of love.
Yeah. And probably so humility is probably one of the biggest.
Like, absolutely. Yeah. And so I think that when we're talking about all of these spiritual disciplines, the important thing to remember is that like if your spiritual discipline is not creating you and shaping you to be a person of love the way that Jesus told us that we need to do, he said the greatest of all these commands is to love your brother. Mm-hmm. Like if you're not becoming a greater person of love and you're increasing in your love of God and love of people and also in humility, then something is off there. Because just like you said, like you can be singing as loud as you can have the most beautiful voice, but if your heart is not in the right posture, then you won't be producing those things. And so I think a good way to separate the two of like worship, the corporate worship that we're talking about, where heaven meets earth in those moments, the Holy Spirit moves, lives are changed, people are transformed because they can tangibly feel the presence of the Lord is so powerful and needed and commanded. And we're told to be obedient to that, but also cultivating your own personal life of worship and the things that make your heart come alive in gratitude and in humility as a response to the Lord's goodness is equally as important.
Yes. Mm. So we're called to both.
We're called to both. And so I think it just might be helpful to like separate.
No, yes, it is important because it's easy to blend them together and,
or to just be like, okay, like anything and everything. That I think a tendency that we can have is to be like, okay, everything and anything and whatever you do can be worship, and it totally can be, but that doesn't negate the need for corporate worship.
It's not an excuse. You can't allow yourself to say, oh, well, I'm doing these things, my day-to-day tasks, you know, as worship to the Lord, so I don't
need to sing on Sunday. I can check out on
Sunday.
That's
not what's being said at all.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, they're both equally important. And they're both the same, but it's different. I mean, it's like Kylie said before, like when you're, you are just as filled by hearing the congregation around you, your brothers and sisters in Christ, that is filling and that, I don't know a word to say other than filling, but that fills your spirit, your soul just as much, you know, but it's in a different way. It's in a different way. It bolsters your faith to hear other believers.
Yeah.
You know,
it does. Yeah. And I would say, you know, we talk a lot about theology on this podcast. Yeah. And you've heard us say that theology is practical, but I'll also say that theology that doesn't end in worship is like usually either pointless or mm-hmm. harmful.
So yeah. good.
So you know, good. For, you know, we talk a lot about you should read the Bible, you should know these things, you should know the God that you serve. Mm-hmm. But if, and this is something I struggle with, that's why I'm saying it, is it, I can know a lot of things about God, mm-hmm. but if I don't have like any sort of response to it, then I'm just like knowing something about something.
It's so true.
And honestly, yeah. I can wield it like a weapon.
Yes.
Literally.
Yes.
And we all know what that looks like. Yeah. And, you know, but if every time I learn something about the Lord, if I'm like, I have to do something with it, not just right. application, that is a piece, but it's like, I want to respond to the Lord purely just like between yes. me and the Lord, I want to respond. Like our theology and what we know about God, that is always the response.
That is right.
Like
good.
That is the call of worship. And so hopefully like it's coming across how this should mesh with everything else we've yes. talked about on this podcast, yeah. right? Because it is so important. It's not just important, it's like essential.
Yes.
Well, worship is the response to the goodness that we learn about God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So like as we grow in our theology, as we grow in the knowledge of who God is, mm-hmm. it should grow our desire to worship him.
Right.
Yeah. That's a chain reaction. You know, yes. one is not going to happen mm-hmm. without the other.
Yep.
That's not to shame somebody who feels awkward in worship. Mm-hmm. That's not the point of saying that at all.
But I think that it's a challenge mm-hmm. and a hope and an encouragement to say, like, if you haven't experienced worship in the way that you think maybe other people have or in a way that you want to, just ask the Lord.
Right.
Like, ask the Lord, like, Lord, help me experience worship in a way that is honoring to you.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe yeah. not in a way that looks like someone who mm-hmm. is more charismatic or expressive, because you just may not be that expressive of a person.
Yeah.
So it's not about how your worship looks, but
no.
pray to the Lord and ask him, like, Lord, I want to feel your presence tangibly. Like, yes. I want to feel your spirit in this space. Like, help me see your goodness. Help mm-hmm. me see myself rightly. Like, reveal your glory to me. Mm-hmm. And right. he will.
Yeah.
He loves to. That's a very pleasing prayer to ask him. And the Lord is faithful in answering those type mm-hmm. of things of like, you know, the more that we desire and the more that we seek him, the more mm-hmm. that we'll find him. And
yeah.
so I think that that's just an invitation for us all today.
Yeah, yeah. I think so.
I think it's important as well to acknowledge that people worship differently. Mm-hmm. And just because somebody worships in a way, and I mean corporate worship, so yeah. worship at church on yeah. Sunday, mm-hmm. just because it might be different than something you've experienced, mm-hmm. doesn't mean that person is wrong or
right. yes. or closer to God.
Yes, or closer yes. to God than you are. Yeah. I mean, ultimately, like, personality always does mm-hmm. play into the way that you express yourself.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, so just because some person, you know, is dancing and jumping all around doesn't mean they're experiencing the Lord in any mm-hmm. sort of different way. Mm-hmm. And I mean, on the flip side of that, it also doesn't mean that that person is experiencing the Lord wrong because mm-hmm. you don't feel led, you know, to
yeah.
make a joyful noise in the same way. I think it's really easy in just the culture around the church today. People get very divisive
yep.
yeah.
often. And worship is no different. People have very strong opinions on different things.
Right.
I mean, I go to a church, the church I go to now has a lot of very different types of individuals who
yeah.
worship in very different types of ways. And it's a non-denominational church. And, you know, people from all sorts of backgrounds come together, but it's very different than the church I grew up at as a mm-hmm. child,
yeah.
you know? So mm. it's just always, I think we need to be quicker to ask ourselves for the Lord, I think we need to be quicker to ask the Lord to help us have grace for people that are different than us
yeah.
instead of being so quick to judge people who are different yeah. than us.
Yep.
I don't really know how to verbalize that well, but I just feel like that's something that's mm-hmm. important to
yeah. no, it is.
Share.
I think that's good. I was talking with a friend earlier this week who has started going to a church that has like a bigger emphasis on like they're a liturgical church.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that was introduced to me like not that long ago. I did a devotional that was written by a pastor who pastors a liturgical church, and he came out with this devotional that he gave his congregation during COVID, basically mm-hmm. for them to still follow like mm-hmm. their like liturgy schedule of a service, right. but in their homes. And I have never gone to a liturgical church, but I was obsessed with this devotional. And if you're not familiar, their whole service is as intentional as it could be. Whatever the pastor's talking about, their prayer, their scripture reading, their songs, everything is all centered around whatever they're like talking about. I am obsessed with it. And my friend was just talking about how the whole service, like, it's not like, you know, when you could go to church and it's like, we're just waiting for the pastor to get up there and talk. But my friends were saying, like, the whole service feels like you're there for the whole thing. The whole thing just feels like worshipful. There's like a call to repentance. There's scripture reading. There's like multiple like songs. The whole thing is like a worship service. It's not just that worship is the music. Right. And, you know, I think that's kind of similar to what we're saying when we say that like anything can be worship. It's that with intentionality and like the truth behind it, anything can be like leading up to it, if that makes sense. Like getting your heart to respond to the Lord with like what you know. But I love that churches, there are churches out there that are so intentional. Every single second of that service is so important to them. Not to say that non-liturgical churches don't think it's important, but like they're like going the extra mile for it. And I just love that. That's it's so the main cool. point. Yeah. That's so cool.
That is very cool.
So we've said a lot.
Yeah. In a not a lot of time.
Yeah.
We're all fast talkers
here. Yeah, we are.
Yeah, we are.
But just kind of, you know, we love to land with some practical things. Yeah. I think, you know, what we've said is that worship is a response to what we know to be true about the Lord, giving him glory and honor and praise. We've said that it's not just music, but it certainly is music as well.
Yes.
We would say that corporate worship is an essential part of worship, but that anything can be worship. And that this is something we should work at. It's a discipline that should be cultivated over a lifetime. It's essential. It looks different for everyone based on personality and skills and creativity and lots of things. And it's something that we will do in eternity.
Yeah. Right.
Do you guys have anything to add?
I think we covered it all.
Yeah.
Not at all. We definitely didn't cover it all, but I feel like we covered a lot.
Yeah.
All really good stuff.
Yeah. I feel like the biggest thing that I would add, and I would tell this to anybody, I've told this to people before, you know, when they say, I just don't want to sing. I just don't want to sing at church. I feel awkward. Music isn't my thing, you know, all those sorts of things, which is totally okay to have those thoughts. But my biggest encouragement would just be to pray about that.
Yeah.
Genuinely. Because there's nothing wrong with music not being your thing, but we are called to make a joyful noise.
Yeah.
And we are called to worship the Lord. And when we remember the wonder and the goodness of our salvation, that is our heart's response.
So
I don't know. That would just be my biggest encouragement.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with specifically praying to the Lord to give you a heart for worship.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, the Lord delights in specific prayers.
Mm-hmm.
We know this, you know, you have not because you ask not sort of thing. And I have to remind myself of that all the time, but it's more important than one would think.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is. That's good.
So good.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us. We loved having you, Sophia.
Yeah.
It was
so good. Thanks for being here.
Yeah.
And now Sophia's going to sing us all a song. And ready? 5, 6, 7.
I'm like reminded of that study where, what's the name of the theologian that we all love?
Jen Wilkin.
Yeah, I forgot that all of a sudden. But at the end of that study where she sings a doxology at the end of
her
study.
Yes,
so I'm like, do we need to sing the doxology?
Do we need to sing the doxology right now?
I know, yeah.
We'll spare you guys.
We'll spare you guys that.
Yeah.
But after this podcast ends, like, sing to yourself the doxology.
Yeah. That is,
you want to kick
no
it off.
Joke, it's my favorite.
You know how to.
Praise God.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
It's beautiful, though.
It
like,
is so beautiful.
Even... I sing the doxology just randomly to myself all the time.
I love the doxology.
I love the doxology.
You know what brainworm, lizard brain thing I've been doing recently when it comes to worship music?
What?
Randomly breaking out into, our God is enough, and God he reigns.
Guys, from the Shane and Shane version, I listen to it every day.
It's so good.
Wait, guys, I just realized I never even asked my icebreaker. Should we end the episode with my icebreaker?
Yes.
I love it. Guys, I can't believe we just jumped right in.
Also, literally, I have to tell you this. Remember how we were talking about Tremble the other day?
Yes.
As your dream song?
Yes.
So Sorry. I guess everyone who hears that, ask Olive about her dream song at some point in time.
I could talk about it. Yeah, yeah.
But I was singing Tremble literally yesterday at the middle school and high school services. And it, I will say, love that song. It's definitely not my favorite song to sing. It's
That's an oldie.
It's more of a challenging song, it's vocally. It's hard. Beautiful song. Love it. I was watching a group of middle school boys toss into the air another boy.
The Tremble?
During that song.
Do you make the tartan?
Middle school is a crazy time because there will be a group of like 10, 15 girls like right in the front and center
who are sobbing
in worship. And then there are boys around the edge who are throwing another student another around child in the air. It is crazy out here, but I just had to tell you that because we were singing Tremble.
That is so funny.
Wow.
Anyways.
That's hysterical. And do you guys want to hear about my dream song?
Yeah, tell about your dream thing for
a second. So this is kind of crazy. I went through a phase where I had night terrors and...
Classic.
I had some really bad night terrors and sleep paralysis and a lot of spiritual warfare that I feel... Yeah. I think... we can do a whole episode on that.
The enemy be talking in the dreams, okay?
But, yeah.
It's war out here.
It is war out here in my sleep. And so I was talking to my boyfriend about it, and I told him that even though I would, the way that I experience night terrors or dreams is that I would always be aware that it was a dream.
Oh my gosh.
So I would be like experiencing sleep paralysis, but then I'd know like this isn't real. But I couldn't like pull myself out of it.
Yeah.
And so I went through phase two where I lucid dreamed a lot. And I think that the lucid dreaming.
I have a lot of dream talks.
Yeah.
This seems overwhelming now.
Yeah. But
I just know where it's going.
I think that there's a lot of spiritual warfare that happens when it comes to dreaming. And I think I was trying to lucid dream and I was opening a door for. Night terrors and some sort of demonic.
I have no category for any of this because I don't dream.
I know. It's so crazy.
You don't dream at all?
Not really.
That's a big can of worms.
But like you
right
saying
now.
Like lucid dreaming, I'm like,
Dreaming means that basically you can control your own dream. So
you can do that?
So you can you're aware
that
you're dreaming.
Oh, my dreams just happen to me.
Oh, yeah. I understand. Yeah, okay. And so you can control your dreams. You can kind of decide. It's like a little video game, but you're your own character kind of thing.
Wow.
And so
you are the god of your dreams.
You are the god of your dreams.
That's incredible.
And so I was lucid dreaming, but the problem with lucid dreaming is, again, I don't really know all the spiritual
A lot in the subconscious, like, mixed with spiritual, like, elements.
It was just getting crazy in
it
there.
Just is the brain too much for
Long story short. When I was in these sleep paralysis moments and I was unable to pull myself out of it, the only thing that would help me pull out of that was like reciting scripture that I had memorized.
In your dream?
Yes, to myself, because I was aware that I was dreaming.
You were aware enough to do that.
And also singing a worship song. And most often it was a worship song that...
A.K.A. Tremble.
That's amazing.
So as I'm singing this song, watching middle school boys throw another boy in the air, I'm thinking of this being Olivia's night terror wake-up song. All simultaneously while I'm trying to, like, be present in the moment and be like, Lord, thank you so much. I'm thinking about all these things.
Wow. Well, here's the thing, too, that's, like, powerful about that song. Because, like, this is the punchline, guys. Like, that song was written with some crazy, I don't know to call it prophetic, but just, like, spiritual anointment to be a song for night terrors specifically.
What? Crazy, right?
It's like a whole story.
That's what the writers of the song say.
Is that like chills. as they were writing this song, like Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Yeah. Like that is a song. That is a spiritual.
Did you know that?
No.
And so when I was talking to my boyfriend about this, and he asked me like, "What are the worship songs that you sing to yourself to pull yourself out of this?" I was like, "It's weird because they're not like worship songs that my church is currently into or singing. It's like these deep." Formative worship songs that were so formative on my walk when I was a teenager that rise up within me.
Right.
And he's like, "What was it?" And I said, "Tremble." And he's like, "You know what's crazy is the story behind that song."
He knew.
Is that one of the writers was really struggling with spiritual warfare and dreams and night terrors and a bunch of scary, crazy stuff. And she was partnering with the other writer. And separately, the other writer felt like the Lord was calling her to write a song about spiritual warfare, like for night terrors specifically.
Oh,
like songs that would say like, "Jesus, you make the darkness tremble."
Yeah, I mean the literal lyrics of the song are like
overall
it's Jesus. Your name is a light that the yes. shadows can't deny.
The shadows can't deny.
Your name will not be overcome.
Yes. And oh, so she didn't even realize that. And so when they start writing the song, like, they both make the connection of, like, wow, like, you were writing the song for me and I'm helping write this song for mm-hmm. Tara. And it's very interesting. I have a lot of thoughts right now about a lot of different things, but I think about how in the West, we primarily think about Jesus and faith and Christianity and sort of a judicial atonement kind of transactional sort of way.
Right.
Like, yeah. I pray to God, you give me something,
yeah,
God.
What can I do for God?
Like, I need to grow.
These things for me.
I need to grow in my faith so I will have more favor. I'll have more right. blessing, whatever, whatever. But in every other part of the world, like, if you think about a place like Rwanda or India or some of these other places that have, like, very strong pagan and spiritual cultures, mm-hmm. they're not singing to God so that they're gonna get more money in their bank. They're singing to God because, like, you have more power over the demons that I see in my
yes.
house. Like, you have power over the demons that I see in my community. Like, you are the one who has power over all these other spiritual forces. And so they think about Christianity and they think about God in a power structure, not in right. like a judicial or like transactional comfort. Structure or comfort-oriented structure. And so that's a whole nother thing. That's
man,
like,
they're
not
praying
even,
to God out of, I need you.
I need you. Yeah, I need you crazy. To overcome the demonic forces yeah. I can see in my life. And mm-hmm. I think that, like, in the West, we don't even have, like, language or a construct or, like, a framework for that to even fit in.
No.
Right.
But there
no,
is, like, and I think also when we're talking about the spiritual disciplines, like, they're called spiritual disciplines because it's spiritual warfare. Like,
right.
it's
stuff something, to strengthen our arsenal.
Yes. Yeah. And, like, I think that when we think about spiritual warfare and sin patterns and, like, using these tools to fight sin patterns, mm-hmm. like, there is an element of, like, the sin within you, your human nature. But I mm-hmm. think there's also spiritual effects that are making it, mm-hmm. making a stronghold over you stronger than what it already is. Mm-hmm, you know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so these spiritual disciplines unto the Lord can help us fight and break those
right.
spiritual ties that are attached to, like, yes. some of our sin patterns. So it's like, it's not yeah. just a sin pattern that you can fight solely by yourself and solely through your works, because that would make it something separate from a spiritual element.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's
yeah.
a spiritual element attached to it. And yeah. I don't know quite how to articulate it yet. But these spiritual disciplines help fight those things
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
So, like, this is why you can't fight. Sometimes sin patterns, you can't just will yourself through
you
them.
You never can.
You no. never can.
You like, never can. It's like, who told you that you can fix your sin on your own?
You can't fight. Yourself.
You can't.
You can't fight
you can't do
these
it.
Sin patterns by yourself. This is why these tools are helpful. And the
right.
tools aren't the end goal. You don't worship to seem worshipful.
Just to worship.
No. You worship to, like, as a weapon. You worship to fight the things that you need to fight and to remind yourself of who God is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that, like, as we're talking about these spiritual disciplines, it's important to remember, like, the fruit of these disciplines is to create us into mm-hmm. people who are more like Jesus and more full of love.
Mm-hmm.
And the discipline itself is not the end goal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of every year, at least that I've been consciously aware enough to do this, because I swear until like 3 or 4 years ago, my brain was ramen noodles. So it's finally developed enough to, you know, think through these things. But I like to clothe myself almost with these kind of, you know, not a mantra, but something that I can remind myself of mm-hmm. or words that I can kind of just root myself to. That's not necessarily scripture, but it's things that remind me of scripture. So this year, what I've been thinking through is, I'm not on earth to be remembered. I'm on earth to prepare for eternity.
Yeah.
I'm not on earth to be remembered. I'm on earth to prepare for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And our spiritual disciplines are the things that prepare us for eternity.
Yes.
I mean, it's just like Olivia's saying, or Olive is saying. Sorry, I always say Olivia. But
no,
people,
you can say Olivia. I'm both.
I grew up knowing her as Olivia. But Olive
I think
is
I've
great.
Reverted back to
yeah, you're
too.
Reverting back.
I don't accept it, but carry on.
Anyways. And so our spiritual disciplines are the things that the Father in his kindness has given us to be able to arm ourselves
yeah.
against the enemy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's those spiritual disciplines that are going to continue refining us, continue
mm-hmm.
shaping us.
Mm-hmm.
The Father uses those to morph us.
Yeah.
I was about to say some like weird like
mold.
Mold. Morph. You know. Refine us into his family that he wants to spend eternity with.
Mm-hmm.
And praise God he's given those to us. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's how we defend ourselves against the enemy, right? Like, our spiritual tool belt is very full. Like, I have a scabbard. I have a sword. Yeah. I have a javelin. You know, just all these different weapons that we can use against the enemy. But also, it's the things that help us grow closer to God. Because through these disciplines is what gives us the ability to know him better.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good.
It's what keeps us right. Sorry, we were going to do your icebreaker, but then we started talking about dreams.
Sorry.
Do you want to ask it still?
We can do it if we can do it. Like, you just have to give your answer. No explanation. Okay. What's your favorite worship song?
Oh, my gosh.
You just have to pick one. Like, right now. Let's just say right now. So then it doesn't feel like you're making a decision for your whole life. I'll go first while you're thinking because I've already thought of it. Mm-hmm. My favorite right now is Pure and Holy by Motion Worship. Mm. I randomly found it a few years ago and I keep going back to it. It's just so good. It's based off of that verse. It's like, make my heart pure and clean. And I just love it. It's so good. Anyways, that's mine.
I know mine. And it's not like I will always be hymns. Old hymns are always my fallback. I forgot that we were on video for a second.
Yeah.
I was just acting up.
No, you weren't.
No, you're fine.
Anyways, wink at the camera. Hymns are always going to be my fallback, but my current favorite worship song right now, and if you haven't heard it, you have to go listen to it. It's the No One Like the Lord and What a Beautiful Name live version. It's the mashup.
By who?
And it's Legacy Nashville with Gracie Binion.
Okay,
she's the lead vocalist on it. It's so like good. Multiple minutes long. Praise God, good. Because I can't get enough of it.
If it's not over 5 minutes long, I'm not listening to it.
It's literally probably like 8 minutes long.
It's so good.
It's a live version, so.
I love that.
But it's so good. That's so good. It's a mashup.
I'll have to listen to it.
I don't want to say, like, cop out of the doxology.
Are you going to say Tremble? Oh, okay.
But I do love Tremble.
Obviously.
Obviously. It's the thing that saves me from my night terror demons. It really does. Praise God.
Praise God.
My nightmare demons. The demons in my sleep.
Literally.
And praise me to God. And praise me to God. Literally.
But I think What a Beautiful Name is also another one. I remember in high school, like a formative, I don't think, I haven't listened to it in years, but like a formative worship song was Extravagant.
I don't know that song.
It's just about his extravagant love.
Oh.
But anyways, I think also Passion's whole album for Call on Heaven is really, really good.
That's my newer one.
Wind of Your Spirit is so good. But yeah, I think the doxology.
Three-part harmony, doxology, no instruments. That's how I want it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's what I feel like. I've been transported to a European cathedral.
Yes.
Sometimes when my church does that, I just close my eyes and I'm like,
any so sort good. Of, like, monk prayer song, like, monk chant. That's what I'm into.
So good.
There's, like, a word that I forget.
Oh,
so that's not a real answer. I gave you, like, three songs. But,
no,
like,
that's
what a
fine.
Name... Doxology,
yeah,
Wind of Your Spirit.
Greatest Thy Faithfulness is probably my favorite hymn.
Greatest Thy Faithfulness is good.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite hymn of all time.
I like any God, I know we said we were gonna like be quick, but I love any Shane and Shane album.
I love specifically old Shane and Shane.
Their hymns, yes, their psalms, like
the Psalm
all of 45. It is so good. But Word, as really the good. Deer. Is one of my favorites. Also,
that's
just,
the one that's about Psalm 45, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes. Okay. Also, small Whoops. Plug for Sophia. Literally from Everlasting, but when Sophia sings it, from Everlasting, Sovereign Grace Music,
yes.
When Sophia sings it, it's so good. But that song is so good.
That's a really
that
good is song.
I
really
love
good
it. One. Any worship
that's the
song.
That's Psalm 90? Am I making that up?
I think so. Any song where I'm like right from a psalm.
What psalm they're from.
Yes. I love it when they're just from a psalm.
Me too.
Yeah. I love it.
I that was the one, that not the one thing, but one of my favorite things I loved being a member of Sovereign Grace is the worship music is so sweet.
Yes.
It's very, very sweet.
So sweet.
Yeah. We love it when worship songs are just straight scripture.
Yeah, we do.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, you're writing it on your heart. It's like what we said before. I mean, you're arming yourself with the word.
Yes. And like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly.
We hope you guys liked this episode. And that it was helpful.
And we'll see you next time.
Yeah. Bye.
Love you.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for that conversation. We hope you enjoyed it. If you're interested in finding out more, you can follow us on Instagram or head over to our website at thescripturesociety.com.